thanks for joining us, and welcome back to our podcast. Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
Good. A happy Purim.
Yeah.
To everyone out there listening
weekend. Put some stank on that Purim.
I did. On Purim.
That seems like overcompensation. It's not even like accurate pronunciation. Just Purim, I think, is Purim.
Oh. I've heard it both ways.
You've heard it both ways. Okay, great.
I took my son to our local Purim Carnival this weekend.
Oh, was there one last weekend? I feel like we have Purim Carnivals lined up for next weekend for our children.
Oh, yeah. We went to one on Sunday morning. It was great. However, the costumes and music and cookies and, you know, juggling acts got a little overwhelming for a three-year-old, so... We went out for coffee and left early, went with some friends from daycare, and a good time was had by all.
My daughter got clappers, like the, you know, you raise them back and
forth. I think the term is Gregor.
It's a Gregor, but I mean like specifically the clapping version of it. And she seems very attached, at least for a few days. So Purim, you know, easy sell to the children.
It is, but it's a lot, you know, this is my son's first Purim, you know, where he's been like aware enough to know what's going on. And like, there's a lot of explaining to do.
Right.
Just like, oh, here's this thing. It makes noise. No, don't make the noise right now. Don't do it right now. But like when we say you can do it, you do it and then you stop.
Yeah. Well,
and that's like a little complicated to explain in the story to a three-year-old.
I look forward to my annual tradition of eating like an unholy amount of Hamantaschen.
And I'm going, what a bagel first thing Saturday morning, just loading up.
Yeah. I'll need to do a scientific test of all the city's Hamantaschen and find out.
That's good. Yeah, if we have any listeners that have recommendations, you know, we'll see you at Grodzinski's on Friday or whatever before noon.
I will always see people at Grodzinski's on Friday. Cause that's my, my standard challah pickup. Real heads know. Although also, you know, I'm a Harvard man, but it's Harvard. Harder to get down to Harvard Street.
Yeah, Grodzinski's is up in the hood. It's around. When I was a kid, we were Grodzinski's, same as my Zadie's. We went around.
Anyways, a lot of challah talk, but we are burying the lead here because we have.
Before we start, a big get today, Jamie. Who do you think is the most accomplished Jewish athlete of our time? of our era, our epoch.
I guess there's some arguments for some of the hockey players, the Hughes brothers. If we're talking like team sports, individual athletes, I would say like, you know, maybe Ali Reisman. There's some other Jewish athletes who've won gold medals. But I think there's a good argument to be made for our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we have Alex Bregman joining us on the podcast.
Yeah.
Houston Astros all-star third baseman, two-time World Series champion, and budding salsa magnet.
Yeah.
Salsa baron? Is he a baron or a magnet? Is there like a Jewish term for a business leader?
Sure. Chazer.
Macher.
Yeah, macher. Salsa macher. We were talking before we had him on that it's like, it's hard. I hadn't even thought about the fact that like the Astros have made the last seven American League Championship Series. Like they've won two World Series and been to two others. And it feels like it doesn't feel like they've gotten their due as a dynasty, maybe for one reason or another, that we didn't really get into on the podcast, but regardless, like they really have had this unbelievable success. So it's amazing to think that like we're coming in on a decade of like Alex Bregman being a big part of our falls, you know, from a baseball perspective. And, you know, he won a World Series MVP. He won an All-Star Game MVP. He's been in the World Series and it was a big contributor to Houston's two wins.
Absolutely.
And we talk about that a lot, you know, go into depth with him about his career. So it was really nice that he was able to join us.
A couple of things we learned about him today. It's nice to meet a Jewish athlete who cares, who gets it. And you know, is here for the people.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a little bit about his bar mitzvah, you know, whether or not that makes the recording, we'll see. We talked a little, you know, a lot about the Houston community. We talked about his friends in baseball.
Well, let's just get right into it. We'll take a quick break and come back with our interview with Alex Bregman. Alex, this is a Jewish sports podcast, so I think the first question we wanted to ask you is about Game 6 of the 2021 World Series. You were facing Max Fried and flew out to Jock Peterson. This was the most Jewish sports play in World Series history. Was that something that you knew about at the time? Was it something you heard about afterwards, about the significance of that?
I think I saw it on Twitter or something after after the fact, but you know, all of us have been talking and you never know, we might have to make an appearance in the next WBC together.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. So yeah. is that do you talk to other Jewish athletes about being Jewish? Like you see Rowdy Tellez at first base, you know, hug Semeja, that sort of thing?
Oh, we're always talking. Yeah, we've especially over the last year, a lot of us have connected, and we're always rooting for each other.
That's really great to hear. So you brought up the topic. I mean, you know, the next WBC is happening in 2026. We know that it's on the books. Any thoughts or decisions you want to reveal about joining Team Israel? I know it's a little early, but it's something I think Jewish fans would love to see.
No, I think you nailed it. It is a little early to say yet, but it's definitely something that I'm thinking about, and I know I'm talking about it with the family, so we'll see what happens. Obviously I played for Team USA in the past.
Right.
So we'll just have to see how it goes. But I think it would be pretty cool to get all of us together on the same team though, I'll tell you that.
And you just said your family, like, what is your family saying? Your parents trying to like push you, like every Jewish kid to like be more Jewish, your parents trying to get you to play for Israel?
They would be happy if I play for either the United States or Israel. They love the last experience. They thought it was a blast. And, this last year I had a broken finger from the World Series actually, right, that I was recovering from. So I couldn't play in the WBC, but, hopefully next year it'll be ready to roll in 2026.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Just wanted to ask about that because I know your grandfather was involved in baseball. Was that something you heard about as a kid, you know, hearing stories about his days working for the Washington Senators, you know, helping to get baseball into Texas? I assume that's something you're proud to carry on, a good long tradition of Texas baseball in the family.
No, 100%. My grandfather and I talked about baseball all the time. He never missed a game until he passed. And he loved it. We love talking baseball. I love watching my games, whether it be in high school or in college, and would tell me great stories of the Senators days. And then obviously he helped with the move to them becoming the Rangers. So it's baseball has been in the family for a long time, and you know, it's something special that we can all talk about and have a good time with.
Speaking of, as I said, big Bregman history in Texas baseball. Seems like you're doing a lot to sort of put your mark on Houston, both with your, you know, connection to the Jewish community, some of the work you've done with Bregman Cares. You know, what keeps you motivated to stay involved? You know, I'm looking at pictures of you in various synagogues around town, as well as your own bar mitzvah. But I wonder, you know, what keeps you so connected to the community?
Well, I actually was fortunate enough to go and be able to speak with the congregation at Beth Yeshurun. I think it was 2 years ago now. And so many kids came out and we had a great time. And it was a great Shabbat, and got to meet a lot of people in the Jewish community in Houston. And everywhere I go now, whether it's spring training or on the road or at home at Minute Maid Park, people were like, "Hey, we saw you at Beth Yeshurun. We had so much fun that night. It was a great time. Our son wants to play baseball now." And to be able to have that kind of impact is definitely inspiring. And we've been very fortunate enough to hopefully make a little bit of an impact in Houston with our foundation, Bregman Cares. I'm super proud of the work that we've done with kids and the autism community, and also just kids in need. And we try and step up in times of need, whether it would be the freeze or Hurricane Harvey.
Right.
We've tried to help out as much as we can.
I think Jewish baseball fans and really Jews around the world, you know, took notice last year when you drew a Magen David on your hat. I guess it was in the divisional series in the wake of the events of October 7th. I'm just curious about your experiences with that. I know that was a big gesture. I think, people really felt that watching that, turning to sports as a bomb in the aftermath of that. I'm curious about what feedback you got from the Jewish community, and also whether there was feedback from your teammates, from other people in the league, did people reach out and ask you about that and what the meaning of that was?
Oh, 100%. I got a lot of actually great feedback from around the league, a lot of players, coaches, fans reaching out and thanking me for doing it. But to be honest with you, was just trying to show my support. And so many people, Jewish or not Jewish, from around baseball reached out and said, "Hey, we got your back. We're supporting you." And it was pretty cool to see. And a lot of guys I saw, obviously Kremer threw, and he had family in Israel. And, you know, we had, a lot of us had been talking from around the league about everything, all the events and everything on October 7th. So, you know, it's a tough time. It's still a tough time right now. And, you know, we've all been in communication and talking the whole time.
It was pretty great to see Ian Kinsler donning the Israel jersey. I mean, when you guys played them in the next series, throwing at the first pitch was pretty great. You know, it's great to see his involvement in everything as well.
100%. That was badass. Yeah. I love seeing that. And, it was cool.
So we got just a couple more questions for you. Something LaVarnway told us last year is that you could be anywhere in the league and people say, "Oh, I'm Jewish too." Like, do you get that experience?
Oh yeah. All the time. Everywhere we go around, whether it's from fans, players, staff, my guy right here just told me he's Jewish. So
hey,
that's great.
Welcome to the show.
So it's not a visual medium, but Alex just pointed his camera towards one of the Astros staff he's in the room with. But,
yeah,
that's great to hear.
No, it's cool, and it's something that we all take a lot of pride in.
Right, Alex. So, we wanted to ask you about one of your new ventures as well, that you've gotten into the salsa making business. How did that come about, and how's that going?
No, we started it in 2018. A company in New Mexico reached out to us about making a salsa, and we wanted to kind of go off on our own and do it. We fell in love with it, and hopefully we're going to get that kosher stamp on it
here soon.
That's a lot of quick sales right there.
There we go. We're working on it. We're going to get it certified. So, but it's great. It's delicious. Obviously, we love it. We eat it on everything. Obviously, growing up in New Mexico, we had a lot of salsa in our household. So
are you a red chili or a green chili guy?
Both. I like Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah. Christmas. Kinds, right?
That's what they call it in New Mexico. Yeah. Yep.
In LA too, they call it Christmas. Yep. That's awesome.
I can tell you that there's a few people we've seen who track like kosher food available in different ballparks and different stadiums. So if you can get the kosher symbol certification on the Bregman salsa, like, you're going to have a lot of fans in a lot of ballparks very, very quickly, or, you know, at least throughout the Southwest or wherever there is.
Yes, sir. We're going to get it done.
We always like to ask question. Who is your Jewish sports hero growing up?
My two biggest sports heroes growing up were Dustin Pedroia and Derek Jeter. I love both of them.
Yep. Neither of them are Jewish, but that's okay. No.
Yeah. My mom grew up in New York. So we always were Yankees playing. I loved everything about Derek Jeter as a kid and just how much of a winner he is. And then I was fortunate enough to bat boy for the New Mexico Lobos when I was a kid, and Dustin Pedroia was playing for Arizona State at the time.
Yeah, cool.
So got to see him in college and then obviously play against him in professional baseball, but I'll never forget. He hit a ground ball to a shortstop. They were up like 15 runs on the Lobos, and the throw was up the line a little bit, and he went diving head first into first base. I was like, I want to play like that guy. He plays the game the right way. He plays the game hard, and he's the ultimate competitor. So I love both of them growing up, but
there weren't a lot of Jewish Yankees in the 90s, you know?
I'll probably give you the stock answer, to be honest with you. Sandy Koufax.
That's fine. Though you do recognize it's the stock answer, which is a step above most people.
And when I got to meet him, that was one of the coolest days I've had at a baseball field. So I got to meet him at Dodger Stadium. I think it was in 2018. And wow, it was a really special day. Just getting
That's
to
wonderful.
Meet our dog growing up was named Koufax. We had two, Koufax and Jeter. So I guess my guy. Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome. So, I mean, we won't take up any of your time. Really appreciate this. Jamie, do you have any last questions?
No, that's it. Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Alex. We really appreciate it.
Hey guys, appreciate you guys having me on, and I really appreciate everything. Thank you.
And if you want to make an announcement that you're playing for Team Israel in a couple of years, you can come back on.
Call us and you can do it on our show. Yeah.
We'll talk in 2026. We'll see what's going on.
Sounds good.
Right on.
thanks again to Alex for his time, you know, fitting us into a busy spring training schedule. I should say that I can't remember if we ever teased it. We almost had Alex as a guest, I think maybe 2 years ago now.
Yeah, there were some false starts, but yeah, I'm glad we finally got this done. We've been negotiating with his people for some time. And it's nice to see that we finally, you know, he came home to roost, came on the show, had a lot to talk about. Yeah. You know, it's nice to see somebody who's got a lot of thoughts on our topic, generally speaking.
I think the big takeaway for me is that it sounds like there is a group chat of Jewish baseball players, of Jewish MLB players.
Yeah, I think so. I think he hinted at that, you know, Max, that Jock Peterson, the way I like to see it is that Jock Peterson is just sort of trying to convince them to come join Team Israel over and over and over again. But yeah, it's, you know, they all talk about it. They know each other. They connect from being Jewish. You know, a lot of them appeared in that Kevin Youkilis created video about anti-Semitism a little while ago. It's nice to think that they sort of all stay in touch talking about that. You know, next time we have somebody, when we get Zach Geloff on the podcast, we'll ask him maybe if he can go a little deeper into that group chat, maybe share some memes with us. But we'll see. I think
the other big takeaway for me is that, you know, obviously nothing was confirmed, and he acknowledged that, you know, it's way too early to talk about this, but there is an idea being floated of a you know, Team Israel super team. Israel's already qualified for the 2026 WBC. It'll be there. Like, there's no need to, you know, whatever, put together a team to try to compete. Obviously they will be, but what I'm saying is that they're already in. You know, they can start thinking about who's going to make that WBC team. If there was a team that in two years had Alex Bregman on it, had Max Fried.
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, the Stubbs brothers, you know, maybe Harrison Bader. The Geloffs. Yeah. You know, maybe the at Golovs. That point we're talking.
I think we'd call them the Geloffs.
The Geloffs, yeah. You know, could be talking about Steinmetzes at that point. You know, there is a pipeline of Israeli talent and Jewish American talent that could put together a team that could really,
that
really,
could really make some noise.
And I think
could
that
really
would be
bang
very
some Gregors, as it were. Is that the new team? Should we start that Team Israel Baseball? You should bring your Gregor to the game.
You know
to
what?
Like really get it going.
The WBC probably more or less coincides with Purim, so it's not a bad idea if we can get some Gregor action at the 2026.
Brandon Gregors. Let's talk to Nate Fish about that. See if
yeah, so that's so that that leads to the topic I wanted to talk about, which is that just today there was a you know, tweet storm from Israel Baseball, sort of announcing a new program, a new goal in terms of creating something called Israel Baseball Americas, which is trying to create this sort of year-round programming, you know, ongoing pipeline for American players making to Team Israel, you know, promoting Israel through baseball, promoting baseball in Israel, you know, identifying Jewish athletes and getting
as well
them
as Jewish athletes in America.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. I mean, I hope we'll have a chance in the next little while to talk about. As you said, former guest Nate Fish, the King of Jewish Baseball, is the CEO and a member of the board. There's a board of advisors that includes Ian Kinsler and Kevin Youkilis, Jay Horowitz of the New York Mets and some others. So I think there's,
and, you know, and possible grandfather of Spencer, another former guest on this show.
Not possible. Definite.
Definite. Yeah. Definite. Great.
Yeah. Spencer Horowitz's grandfather. Anyways, and some other, Team Israel veterans. So excited to hear about what that means in the future. I would say it's a little, not unclear, but just, it just got announced, all this stuff. So, I think
one
it's
thing I thought
that's happening,
you know, I would be remiss not to point out that in the press release in Nate's statement, he did define that the new organization, Israel Baseball Americas, is a 501c3, which is a charitable organization in America, which is good to see that he has brought the great Jewish tradition of accounting into to the forefront of this, all the future possibility.
Right. Well, that's really exciting. And I think that's great. You know, I think, as we said before, it's something that we're going to keep an eye on. And obviously, we always talk about what's going on in Team Israel Baseball. Gabe, any other news you want to talk about? I want to talk a little bit about March Madness that's coming up.
People pointed out that
there was a pretty exciting thing that happened in the SEC Championship basketball game. And, you know, SEC is one of the sort of big power conferences, certainly in college basketball, one of the best ones. And the game was between Auburn and Florida, and both their coaches are Jews. Bruce Pearl, sort of outspoken Jewish coach of Auburn, longtime coach of Auburn now. And Todd Golden.
Outspoken Jew, Bruce Pearl.
Outspoken Jew, yeah. People remember we had one of his one of the members of his team, Lior Berman, on the podcast a couple months ago. Unfortunately, Lior hurt.
Going dancing. Well, he's not going.
He's
dancing.
Not going dancing. The team's going dancing. Yeah, the team's going dancing. He unfortunately, I can't remember exactly what the injury was, but I think he tore a knee or ankle or something like
that. Yeah, it's a bad one. Right. And you know he's probably going to be out for the entire season, if not more.
Yeah. So, you know, he talked to us about, you know, wanting to potentially play professionally in Israel as a future goal. And hopefully that's still on the table for him. We wish him all the best with his recovery. But yep. Bruce Pearl is dancing along with
Auburn. He has torn his ACL.
Right.
Berman has torn his ACL.
Yeah. But there's been some other stuff. Keith Dambrod is the coach of Duquesne, who also won their tournament and made the NCAA tournament. I know Yale won the Ivy League, including one of the only 7-foot Jews, Danny Wolf, who I believe they were in the tournament last year, unless it was Princeton, but 7-foot tall, more or less, Danny Wolf, big part of that team. And I think, like, you know, relatively the Ivy League has sort of come on in years, comparatively, like it used to be that they were always the 16 seed, like the worst seed in the tournament. But, like, you know, there have been some decent Princeton teams. Yeah, there's been some decent Princeton teams in the last few years. There's been some decent Yale teams in the last few years. And like, Yale is ranked 13th. They're playing Auburn, probably the best Scholastic matchup in the tournament. Auburn versus Yale in the first round. So there will be either a Jewish 7-footer or a Jewish coach in the second round.
Or you know, the Jewish spirit of high academics also debating, also fighting each other. It'd be great if there was a debate and a basketball tournament, and it's a combined score
right.
of both. We can call it March Tsuris.
Yeah, I think
I'm here all week. I'm here all week, March Tsuris.
That's good. It's exciting that there's a real foundation of Jewish coaches in college basketball. Somehow that seems to be where Jewish coaches are, like, most present than anywhere else. You know, like, there's the few that we've already talked about. Jewish Coaches Association that actually, like, does, like, good events and things like that on a regular basis. Temple's coach, Adam Fisher, is Jewish as well. Josh Pastner's not coaching this year, but has been dancing before. And I don't know why that is. Like, college basketball coach is like it's like a very specific type of human being, and it's like somehow
a level of intensity you really need to get. Obviously, we didn't even talk about John Shire.
Yeah,
you know, probably the most notable,
absolutely
Jewish basketball coach of the time right now.
Yeah, and Duke's a 4 seed. I mean, in a relatively weak bracket that, like, you know, could definitely be making it to the Final Four.
He could be the guy, but, you know, you make a great point. And obviously a lot of these people, I don't want to say graduate, but eventually become legendary NBA coaches as well. Things specifically of Larry Brown, you know, being a notable, and Red Auerbach as well. Nancy Lieberman, you know, a legendary college basketball coach, but a women's college basketball coach and an NBA basketball coach. So not in this tournament, but she's won it many, many times. So yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a really particular, like you said, type of guy who I don't necessarily know if it's, like, we've said before that Josh Pastner has camp counselor energy.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
he's like probably not like, but even him, like he had like a sort of intensity to him. Like all college basketball coaches have, like, or at least all, I think guys.
Yeah. It's like a shirt tucked into the, you know, a tucked in shirt with a belt. Like it's a really, you know, it's a really typical thing.
But I don't know why it's basketball. Like, I don't know why that is. It's not like, it's not the pros who, you know, consistently seem to be guys. It's almost like two different ranks. There isn't as much movement between college and pros. Obviously, there's some, but there aren't that many Jewish NBA coaches, or there haven't been in the last 5 years or so. There haven't been many Jewish NFL coaches or college football coaches, really, really any college football coaches. But college basketball is the thing that we're doing well.
You know what? I mean, now we're going back to the history of the urban game.
right.
You know, in the 1940s and 1950s, you've got plenty of Jews on a roster and only a handful of, you know, your Chicagoans that might have played in on an NFL team back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure CCNY had some you know, Jewish coaches back in the 40s and 50s, back when Carmine Lupertazzi invented point shaving. But we're 70 years since then. And anyways, I'm just saying that it's an interesting thing. So I would say I don't have a full read on all the Jewish players necessarily. There are schools that I would say, even as like a somewhat regular college basketball watcher, I haven't watched a lot of, because that's the nature of a 68 team tournament. So there might be some Jewish players hiding in the depths here and there.
This is a question we sort of wrestle with every year in, you know, March Madness. Like, do we start cheering for teams that happen to like be a traditionally Jewish school? Like, you know, we want Northwestern to win their first round.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. And Yale is the alma mater of a number of, you know, Jewish athletes we've talked about on the show. We've had guests on the show before who have gone to Yale. Like, it's academic, as we said, but like, you know, if it comes down to a match between, I don't know, BYU and even Drake University, who just shares a name with a notable Jewish person, like, I'm going to cheer for Drake.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I don't know that there's any real Jewish schools that are like Jewish particular schools. Like,
Brandeis is not in the in
yeah
the
Tulane hasn't had much of a basketball program in a long time. You know, there. Anyways, I think it's sort of slim pickings a little bit. If you want to cheer based on location, or you know somebody who went there, or the head coach, as we talked about, I think that's a perfectly good reason to cheer for someone. And you know, whatever. It's March Madness. It's a lot of fun.
One of my favorite treats about March Madness is seeing all of the universities that you think are one university at first look, and then you realize there's something else. Like, oh yeah, I'm cheering for Samford.
Right. I like the ones where it's like, oh, I thought I was cheering for one university, and it's like UNC Chapel Hill, right. Asheville. Yeah. Are these different things? You know, there's a school like University of Texas El Paso, or IUPUI, which I believe is
Indiana University.
Purdue University of Indianapolis. Like, it's a weird conflation there. So, anyways, that's pretty exciting to watch March Madness.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll find some Jews. Yeah. Rest assured.
One other thing I wanted to mention, Gabe, is that our old guest Zach Hyman had a hat trick the other day against Washington.
You know, he set the record for the most goals by a Jewish player of all time.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Hughes had the record and Mike Camilleri before him. As far as we know, you know, there could have been a particular year in which Larry Zidell scored 70. Don't think it happened, but could have happened. But, you know, it's Hyman is quite likely to get 50 this year.
Yeah, Jubilee. You know, that would be a real, you know, a real accomplishment, right?
Are you coining the Hyman Jubilee?
I am coining the Hyman Jubilee. Jubilee, this is not a Jew Jubilee. It's a Jubilee, like in the Bible, the Jubilee is the 50th year. The 7 times yes. 7, and then the 50th year is like the rest year. It's something to do with agriculture. You're not my Mishnah teacher. You don't get to quiz me on this. But I think calling it the Jubilee makes total sense if he gets to 50, which I feel like he probably will. And, you know, I think that's incredibly exciting. I mean, you know, 50 is a big number, right? In hockey, like that separates the wheat from the chaff, to extend this metaphor, unfortunately.
It is. I mean, and if you go with the Jubilee, that is, from what I understand, the gematria of 50 to be.
Okay.
Same way, I don't know enough about gematria. Somebody can probably talk about this a little more, but it's like somewhat, you know, biblical, and we know that Zach Hyman himself is a gematria fan, numbering himself at 18.
Sure.
So there's that to say. It is his Jubilee, if you want to refer to it that. I'm not your Mishnah teacher.
Anyways, I think the point is, we'll keep an eye on it. It'll give us something to celebrate for sure. And you know, I think the Oilers have been incredibly hot. They had that long streak, and I think they've had another decently long win streak as well.
They've been spectacular. They're probably the best team, you know, in the West, and have been at least in the last 40 games, at least maybe even 50 games.
Yeah, for sure. So you know, exciting to watch them as the hockey season winds down in the next month, and you know, hopefully he'll have a good run in the playoffs. Obviously, we'll do some NHL playoff preview before that gets started.
Just sticking on hockey, we continue Quinn Hughes' inevitable march to winning the Norris Trophy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's been the best defenseman in hockey, and it hasn't been particularly close.
Right.
On one of the best teams in the league for the last, you know, I guess it's 65 games now. Mm-hmm. Pretty much since the beginning, got named captain, signed a big contract, and is now, you know, he's going to start winning awards and going to carry the team pretty far. So we're pretty happy to see that. One other piece of news I think we want to go for, we want to talk about. We've, you know, I was quoted in an article by our friend of the pod, Jacob Gervis,
yes,
last week in the Jewish Telegraphic Agency about a Jewish athlete we weren't aware of, Jordan Harris, a biracial Jewish athlete for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, pretty exciting to hear about that. I it was news, certainly news to me when Jacob reached out.
Absolutely. The story of his sort of... It's an amazing story, and I highly recommend everyone read it. They had heard they might have some Jewish blood, you know, going back, and they just celebrated, you know, Jewish holidays. Their dad said, "I'm Jewish and black. Like, let's keep going, you know, with this."
Right.
Their father was a black Jew, and they did 23andMe and found out they were even more Jewish than they previously thought.
Right.
They weren't sure about sort of the family history, and then they verified it, and very proud. I also like, you know, I don't want to say he was secretively Jewish, but you know, he sort of publicized his ethnicity, mm-hmm, at a Black Ice event, which is sort of a Bell Media run community film group. Sorry, there's a film, and they run community events for black hockey players all over Canada. And he said, "I'm not just black, I'm Jewish. It's hard for that reason too." And all of the Jewish people went like, "Oh my God, we got one." So, you know, mazel tov to Jordan Harris. We'd love to have you on the show at any time.
Absolutely.
Similarly, I want to quickly let, you know, unwrap the kimono for a second here on the Menschwarmers process, figuring out there was a texting back and forth for, you know, probably 6 hours during, I think it was the Arnold Palmer Invitational last week, or maybe the Amex 4 weeks before that, or the Waste Management Open, about the prominence of son of Ukrainian refugees, Max Greizerman.
Oh yeah, that is true. That rookie. This is a you know, if you're holding on to the, I'm going to say 25th or so 30th minute of the podcast, you get some real scoops. So this was someone who I didn't know about. He's a PGA Tour rookie, but Max, I'm not sure if it's Greizerman or Greizerman, I think, is Jewish, it seems. We've reached out to him, haven't heard back yet.
Yes, Jacob seemed confirmed to agree that he was Jewish,
yeah.
But generally speaking, our pieces of evidence are as follows. And this is, here's our Jew or not Jew unwrap behind the kimono. You know, finding social media profiles immediately in his biography on Instagram as a fundraiser for Israel.
Yeah.
That's usually sign number one. Social media profiles of his family shows a lot of support for Israel. A lot of, you know, his sister appears to have gone on birthright. And finally, perhaps my favorite piece of evidence, and maybe the most likely, is that his father is a mathematics professor at Columbia University.
Right.
He
is being sponsored by a golf club. By a law firm.
By a law firm.
He is being sponsored, yeah, by a law firm, which I think is a pretty Jewish thing as well.
If there was ever a mathematics professor at Columbia University who is not Jewish, I would like to find out about them. Who is not a Jewish person from Eastern Europe, I would be truly shocked. But.
So no, we're going to continue to follow him. I mean, he's got
welcome to the tribe.
Yeah, definitely. He's got a role in the PGA. I mean, he'll continue to be at events this year. He wasn't at the Players' Championship, but Max Homa was, made the cut and ended up even for the tournament. And David Lipsky ended up making the cut and ended up 5-under for the tournament, tied for 42nd, which is a pretty good result. I mean, that's like, you know, he keeps putting up numbers, like, you know, finishing in the money is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Should make the FedEx Cup or whatever they're calling it these days, whatever the playoffs are, he should be there. So that's pretty exciting.
Totally. We also, you know, we also see Ben Silverman, Canadian,
yep,
Jewish, did not make the cut at the Players' Championship, but he was there, I think, for the first time. So good for Ben.
Yeah. Daniel Berger wasn't there just because whatever the qualifying rules are, like he's still just making it back. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Berger will be at the Masters. Unless he wins in the next 2 weeks, or maybe it's close.
Yeah, he'd have to win in the next 2 weeks.
He might be. Maybe there's some other exemptions that will allow him to come to the other some of the other majors this year. I guess it'll depend.
Yeah, because I don't know if there's a way that he can. I don't know if he can. Yeah, qualify, get into the top 50 in the world.
But you know, he's continuing to hack out there, and he, you know, he's made it through 4 day tournaments. Like he seems healthy enough to be playing, and you know, hopefully things return to the high level. Obviously, golf is all about, you know, vibes and like being in just like in a consistent,
letting it flow.
Yeah, just being able to do things consistently, and that obviously that takes time to get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll continue to watch that as we get into major season. I mean, Masters is like 3 weeks away, so. Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting time to be a golf fan.
Absolutely.
Anyways, why don't we leave it there for now? As always, we're brought to you by the Canadian Jewish News. You can find our podcast at the Canadian Jewish News' website, thecjn.ca. And we are produced by Michael Freeman, who is kind enough to set up that interview and produce our podcast all the way from his sunny retreat in Mexico.
In Mexico City, you know, another thank you to Alex Bregman. I also want to, I'd be remiss to mention that Sue Bird is probably the most accomplished Jewish athlete of our time.
Okay, that's fair.
Left her out with her, you know, 4 gold medals and 5 championships, or maybe it's 5 gold medals and 4 championships.
That's a good point.
You know, that reads like a Dylan Thomas poem, but I think it's one of those two.
Good circle back to that. Please like and subscribe to this podcast and follow us on Twitter at Menschwarmers. See you next time.